One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang signed, sealed, delivered.
We're yours. We kind of went the same direction on that.
Yeah, you know, same thought process.
Yeah.
How was your holiday season, Shannon?
It's been really lovely, and I've been home for most of it. Home means Pittsburgh for me and Joshua. And we've just been bouncing back and forth between his parents and my parents. And the wonderful slash terrible thing about both you and your significant other being from more or less the same geographical location is that you have to do everything or everyone will be mad at you.
But we didn't
meet in Pittsburgh. So in case our listeners don't know, Scott introduced us to one another and introduced us in New York City. And so I had a decent chance of marrying someone that wasn't from Pittsburgh.
You had pretty much every chance of marrying someone that wasn't from Pittsburgh.
And then Scott ruined it by introducing me to Joshua. So it's been really nice.
Well, you know, when I found out how big of a Steelers fan Joshua was, I was like, this is the guy for Shannon.
Yeah, he knew that my apathy for football could only be filled by a person whose enthusiasm for football was as large as Josh's. So we balance each other out in so many ways, and that's just one of them.
Exactly.
No, but it's been really nice, and we've just been driving back and forth a bit. We went to Phipps last night, Phipps Conservatory in Pittsburgh.
Cool.
And they do like a big holiday light spectacular thing. So basically, like anything that could have Christmas lights, it's a big plant. Like a big like botanical gardens basically, and yeah, anything that could have Christmas lights on it, they Christmas light it, and then
just like cacti covered in Christmas lights.
There actually weren't
mushrooms,
cacti, I guess, but there were like any evergreen tree was just covered in lights, and then like and then the outside. So yesterday in Pittsburgh, it was like 10 degrees, and they have a whole outside area. So we were like, Josh was like setting the speed record for seeing the outside of Phipps yesterday, even though like the rest of our families and like both of our families went and his grandmother went. So we were all kind of like shambling pretty slowly, like around Phipps to see all the lights outside. But it was brutal, let me tell you. But it was really cool.
Well, it's been pretty brutal down here in Florida too. There was a cold front that came through for Christmas, and it was a brisk 70.
Oh God! So. Shut up. How was your holiday? You've just been in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage to marrying someone whose family is halfway across the country from mine is that we don't have to do everything. We get to switch off, you know, just one family a year, basically.
And also, she's from Florida, so you get to be in Florida.
Yes, I was wearing shorts on Christmas.
No.
Yes, I was. And we did an escape room yesterday.
Oh my gosh, did you get out?
We did. It was the first escape room that Megan's parents and Megan's sister had ever done.
Oh,
and
fun.
Megan and I were like whipping them into shape.
Yeah, I bet. No, Megan will not. Megan, defeat is not an option with Megan in escape rooms. Yeah.
And we escaped with about 7 minutes to spare.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Congrats.
Which is why I'm able to talk to you now.
Yeah.
We're not locked in that room forever.
Yeah, that's the thing they don't tell you about escape rooms. If you don't escape, that's it.
Right.
You got to look at the waiver you're signing, people.
Yeah, the show The Leftovers on HBO, where like a quarter of the world's population disappeared. Yeah, they all just lost escape rooms.
Just escape rooms became really popular, and then everyone
became really popular and really hard.
Oh, man.
Well, it's almost 2018, and you know what that means.
It means that you get to hear our friends wail one of our songs.
It's our favorite annual tradition here at Song Salad, which is, this is going to be the third year, which is pretty crazy.
It'll be the third year, but it's only the second time we've done it at New Year's, because the first time we did it at like a friend reunion at a cabin in summer. But yes, every time we are with this particular group of people, we tend to do a big group number as one of our as our salad episode.
And the last two have been pretty epic, if I must say so.
I think
We had Simocetus, the pug-nosed whale.
So look for episode Happy Blubber Hot Dog, I believe.
Yes. And then we also had the Siren Song of Sponges, our Morna song.
Mm-hmm. A Portuguese folk song about the sponges that live in the off the coast of Venezuela.
So who knows what we will make our friends sing about this year.
Oh, so good. Well, how will we, like, what are we doing here? And how will we find out what the song that we'll make our friends sing is?
Well, this is a podcast where we force our friends to sing about a random topic in a random genre of music. And that's a song salad, friends.
Indeed. And we get the random topic and random genre by spinning the salad spinner, which is actually just a noise that Scott and I make based on suggestions from you, our loyal vegetarians. And if you would like to suggest a salad spinner, you can get at us on Twitter at SongSaladCast or send it to us in the email, songsaladpodcast.com. And we sure do appreciate when you do.
And this week's salad spinner suggestion comes from Todd at Todd the Linguist.
Todd the Linguist.
And it's specific to New Year's. And it says, without looking it up, sing Auld Lang Syne. The lyrics to the whole thing, not just the chorus. So,
okay.
Do you think you can do that?
I think so. But aren't, so whoever goes second is going to be at a distinct advantage.
True.
Or is going to be misled by misremembered lyrics from the first person.
Now, I'm a little bit confused because he said the whole thing, not just the chorus. Doesn't the whole, the song just kind of repeat over and over?
Well, I don't know. It's the truth of it, is I don't know. So,
maybe there are some lost verses to Auld Lang Syne, I mean, that we're not familiar
maybe
with.
Maybe it might be like the Star Spangled Banner, where there's actually like four verses to the Star Spangled Banner and nobody knows them.
Right. Well, we could, the second person could make up a lost verse to Auld Lang Syne.
Like, because I think I can do, I think I can get like 80% of the way there on what most people would recognize as Auld Lang Syne.
Well, do you want to start us out then?
Sure. All right, okay. Here we go. May old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind. May old acquaintance be forgot and always Auld Lang Syne. Always and always and always and Lang Syne. Oh shit, this is harder than I thought.
You finished it out, you're almost there. I like your strategy of just extending one word as long as possible.
I was like,
in order
like,
to lessen
know,
the no, number
I know
of lyrics.
Words are going to be at the end of this phrase, and I don't know what the beginning is. So let's just stretch it out. Let's milk it for all it's worth.
Ooh, that was good.
Yeah. So I lied about the 80%. I guess I think I was hitting around 50. Honestly.
Let's spin our genre this week. Is
I didn't know if you wanted me to say it or not.
I was kind of throwing it to you.
Oh. Southern soul.
Southern soul.
Which
Southern soul is it?
I was just gonna say, which is not the same as regular soul. and we'll tell you why.
Because of the South. The end.
Great.
Southern soul is a type of soul music that emerged from the Southern United States. The music originated from a combination of styles, including blues, both 12-bar and jump blues, country, early rock and roll, and a strong gospel influence that emanated from the sounds of Southern African American churches. The focus of the music was not on its lyrics, so Shannon, you're off the hook.
Oh.
But on the feel or the groove. This rhythmic force made it a strong influence in the rise of funk music.
Cool.
The terms deep soul, country soul, down home soul, and hard soul have been used synonymously with Southern soul.
Okay, so we have to remember that for when we spin and we get one of those other things. We have to remember it's actually Southern soul.
So what makes this unique, I guess, and different from just soul music?
We talked about soul music in our episode called Good Old Swimming Hole All Damn Day.
Which was about a country album, right?
Yes, it was about a country album.
So we kind of made it into Southern soul based on the topic.
Yeah, we sort of did. But because we've heard and we've talked a lot about 12-bar blues before, because they are this kind of foundational element of a lot of these genres.
Exactly. And the blues influence on soul and the jazz influence on soul is what comes through most in typical funk and soul music. But the gospel and the country influence is what makes Southern soul unique.
Awesome. And this is going to be perfect because if you think back to our gospel episode, you know, there's a lot of call and response in that genre of music. And so if that is true of Southern soul as well, then that's going to be really fun to do with a big group of people.
Our gospel episode, which was those warbles were fuzzy.
Yes. That's true. Our podcast sounds dumber when we talk about it.
Yes, it does. So the pioneers of Southern soul include the incredible Ray Charles. I'm excited to listen to some of his stuff today. James Brown. Little Willie John, who I'm not really familiar with.
Me either.
That stuff. The Bobby Blue Band and New Orleans R&B artist Alan Toussaint.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me with my French pronunciation.
I mean, it was fine.
It was perfect.
Merry Christmas. Your French pronunciation was fine.
It was fine.
It was fine. Très fine. Yeah.
Très fine. Other notable artists include Otis Redding, mm-hmm. which Shannon mentioned, Al Green, Aretha Franklin. So it's like all of that really iconic music from this place and this time. And also the Muscle Shoals rhythm section. Have you heard a lot about Muscle Shoals, Shannon?
I haven't. That was when you mentioned it earlier when we were looking up if we could do this without being repetitive of soul, which is when I was talking about Otis Redding. You mentioned them and I had never actually heard of them.
So Muscle Shoals, Alabama is a town in Alabama and it's famous for the recording studio in the town. And that is where most of these early Southern soul and gospel and funk records were recorded. And it was kind of a big deal because it was this like tiny town in Alabama that didn't have any other kind of notoriety. It wasn't like a Nashville or a Memphis. It was just like this random little town and all this amazing music started coming from it.
That's really cool.
So there's actually a cool documentary about Muscle Shoals. I think it's just called Muscle Shoals. So if you want to check that out.
The Muscle Shoals rhythm section is a band, or is the Muscle Shoals rhythm section is like everyone kind of coming out of that era from that studio?
The Muscle Shoals rhythm section was like the group of studio musicians that just like stayed in the studio and recorded as the rhythm section for all these other notable artists that came through. So like there would be a lead singer like Ray Charles, for instance, who would come through and he would play with the Muscle Shoals rhythm section.
Sure,
and they would be on his record. So studio musicians that like didn't necessarily have the name recognition, but they were on countless albums.
That's really cool.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So what else should we know about Southern Soul? So it's still being recorded today and performed by artists like Avail Hollywood, Shirley Brown, Sir Charles Jones, Barbara Carr, Willie Clayton. Not anybody that I know, to be honest.
Same.
Yeah. Yep.
But the start of Southern Soul, I don't think we mentioned, was in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. 60s and 70s were the biggest years for this.
Cool.
Should we get an example?
I think let's get an example. What do you think?
Well, we mentioned Otis Redding, and the most significant record label for Southern Soul was called Stax Records, and the mm-hmm. most successful artist of the 1960s on Stax Records was Otis Redding. So should we do an Otis Redding song?
Yeah, let's do an Otis Redding song, something from maybe the mid or late 60s. So we've got Try a Little Tenderness from Otis Redding. Ooh. Which is a good one.
Also famously Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is more soulful? Well, you know what? I just looked up Otis Redding on YouTube, and the description from the person that uploaded Try a Little Tenderness is just so much soul.
All right.
So why don't we listen to So Much Soul?
All right. That sounds good.
Here's Try a Little Tenderness by Otis Redding. But it's all so that's actually what the song is about. It's about meat tenderizer.
Mm-hmm. Nobody tells you that.
It was an advertisement. Try a little tenderness from Kraft Foods.
They were way ahead of their time with that. but what a lovely song. And this is an example of a Southern Soul song that's just a solo vocalist. And then there's mm-hmm. like this really nice continual layering on of... background or like supporting instrumentals in the background.
The instruments that you heard were guitar, bass, and drums, of course, for the rhythm section, but then also prominent piano and organ, mm-hmm. which are really common in these kinds of songs, especially piano when you have artists like Ray Charles and Little Richard who played and sang. And a lot of these Southern Soul artists were like multi-instrumentalists. You know, like I saw that one of the rhythm section members listed was Isaac Hayes on piano and organ, who eventually became a singer himself, too. So these were all really multi-talented people.
Awesome.
Some good YouTube comments, too, here.
Really good YouTube comments on the Otis Redding Try a Little Tenderness. What's your favorite, Scott?
My favorite is today's music doesn't even teach men how to love real women. Such a shame.
I like hard to type while grooving.
Well, they typed it perfectly. So
I know. This is a lovely song. It doesn't have the call and response or the larger kind of like gospel sort of feel.
Right.
They also, you also hear pretty prominently in this song, like a little like perpy horn section, which is a lot of fun.
Love perpy.
I do love perpy horns. So maybe we'll try to find one that's a little bit of like a call and response or has more of the kind of background vocal in it.
Well, if you think about like Georgia on My Mind, mm-hmm. Ray Charles, he says like Georgia, and then the background singers go Georgia. So there's that example.
Yeah.
And then if you think about another Ray Charles song, I've Got a Woman, that's very much in that like classic blues style in mm-hmm. the repetition of the lyric structure, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I guess I can see what they're saying with, like, the emphasis is not on the lyrics. I mean, I know this is just one simple example, but the lyrics are very repetitive in this song. And like, it's more about building the feeling, I feel like, than it is about exactly what the singer is saying. So I'm going to do a little bit, try to do a little bit of a deeper dive into that, but
okay,
yeah, we'll see.
Cool. Should we get our topic?
Let's get our topic. It's your turn to sing on like sign.
Okay.
And then we should look up the actual lyrics.
We should. Now, I think I know the first part, you know, the part that everyone knows, like Todd was saying, but, you know, once it gets into the part where you just started doing Gregorian chant over it, I don't really know what those lyrics are. So we'll see how it goes.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot in days of auld lang syne?
Oh, days.
And now it's something like, in auld lang syne we got lots of auld lang syne. We have so much auld lang syne, we don't know what to do with it. Okay, I'm done.
Okay. So, that was, I guess, closer to mine in some ways, and or closer to the real one in some ways, and not in others. Do you want to know what the real lyrics are?
Yes, I do.
All right. So there's an original version by Robert Burns. So Robert Burns wrote Auld Lang Syne. And if you know a lot about like the choral canon, he's written a lot of like poetry and songs that get set to like choral music.
Yeah.
So he wrote this one, but it's actually like fairly different than the English translation. So there's a minimalist English translation. There's a Scots speakers pronunciation guide.
Oh my God.
And then there's an IPA pronunciation guide based on Burns' own Ayrshire dialect. So this is like really crazy. But here's the English translation. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and auld lang syne?
What?
Yeah.
Where did I get in days of auld lang syne?
I don't know. Well, maybe it's here. Well, here's the chorus. For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne.
Yeah, no one knows that. And surely, no one's ever sung that.
No, never. There are a lot. So then, and surely you'll buy your pint cup, and surely I'll buy mine, and we'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne. We too have run about the slopes and pick the daisies fine, but we've wandered many a weary foot since auld lang syne.
Jeez.
There's one about paddling in the stream, and there's one about,
of course there is,
and there's one about giving a hand to a trusty friend.
It's not what I thought you were gonna say. Okay.
Yeah, so we're both very wrong.
Hope you enjoyed that, Todd.
Yeah,
thanks for the suggestion.
Spin.
All right, what's our topic, Shannon?
Our topic is corruption in Pakistan.
Happy New Year, everyone.
just the general concept of corruption in Pakistan, which is like a lot more abstract than we normally get in a Wikipedia article. It's like kind of amazing.
It is amazing. And it's funny because if you look at the right side of the article, it says like corruption in Pakistan, political corruption, and then concepts are bribery, cronyism, kleptocracy, economics of corruption, electoral fraud, legal plunder, nepotism, slush fund, and political scandal.
It's kind of crazy. And then, like, I guess I didn't realize, so what you learn in, you know, the first paragraph of this article about corruption in Pakistan is that Pakistan was ranked 116th out of 176 countries in the 2016 Corruption Perception Index,
ranked by Transparency International.
And like, who knew that was a thing? And especially,
and what if Transparency International becomes corrupt?
Yeah, exactly. You don't know. Someone could buy Transparency International's loyalty. And like, the crazy thing, and like, when I say who knew, really seriously, who knew? Because Transparency International, nor neither Transparency International nor the Corruption Perception Index are linked on Wikipedia. So like, those things don't even have Wikipedia articles about them. So really, this feels very niche to me. So this article tends to be pretty like practical. Like, they're just kind of listing years going back of you know, all the different like political scandals, basically. But what Scott pointed out when we were browsing this article, when we spun it, is that they have a breakdown of corruption by sector, which I think sounds like the most ripe area for like picking something that will be the sort of focus of the song. So what are the sectors here?
So the sectors are the judiciary, education, healthcare, police and law enforcement, public utilities, sports, and taxation.
Great. So what of those like seven or eight topics sounds like the most fun? Or sounds the most like Southern Soul? Okay, so like, what are some of the themes in Southern Soul?
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start, is you know, what would a Southern Soul singer be inspired to sing about?
So one thing I found from David Wittice, who wrote the book Southern Soul Blues, which won...
Sounds promising.
Yes, which won Best History for Best Research in Recorded Blues, Hip-Hop, Rhythm, and Blues from the Association of Recorded Sound Collectors in 2014, and also won Blues Book of the Year in a critics poll for Living Blues Magazine.
Only so, Blues Book of the Year.
Yeah, really. So one of the things, so I'll just read this first kind of little paragraph of the abstract of the book. And the book is amazing because there is a singer, this woman on the cover, and she's just making the most incredible stank face, which I think should be like the picture that gets put out with our episode this time around. But it's really great. Anyway, so David Wittice says, attracting passionate fans primarily among African-American listeners in the South, Southern Soul draws on such diverse influences as the blues, 1960s era deep soul, contemporary R&B, neo-soul, rap, hip-hop, and gospel. A lot of those genres we've explored before, and a lot of them tend to focus on love and relationships, and like either the like I want a good woman or I lost a good woman kind of feeling.
Right.
Aggressively danceable, lyrically evocative, and fervidly emotional, Southern soul songs often portray unabashedly carnal themes, and audiences delight in the performer audience interaction and communal solidarity at live performances. So the unabashedly carnal themes remind me of Proxy Love when we did when we did that song, which was, what was that? Was that a blue, just a straight blues song? No,
it was, I'm trying to remember.
Was it neo soul?
It might have been neo soul.
Yeah,
I'd have to look it back up.
I know. And we like, yeah, made a bunch of like double entendre innuendo kind of things. So I think from this little snippet, anything that could maybe have to do with like love and relationships, if we could like.
Well, you know, I did find one interesting piece of information that might help us go in another direction with this.
Okay.
So I was looking up information on the song Respect from Aretha Franklin. It was 1967 that came out. And I'm just going to read what this website, it's called Shmoop, says.
Shmoop?
Shmoop is the website.
Great.
Shmoop. So, the scene, 1967. The situation. The war in Vietnam was escalating. There were race riots in Newark and Detroit. The Black Panthers were on the rise, while the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s was beginning to fragment in response to government crackdowns and growing frustration over the slow speed of change, and women were agitating for rights and recognition, ranging from the Equal Rights Amendment to the creation of the first women's centers. Women were also playing leading roles in civil rights activism, but in many cases, their hard work was overlooked. In other words, there was a whole lot of drama going on. The solution? Respect. Aretha Franklin's 1967 smash hit may seem like a pretty benign piece of soulful fun, but at the time it came out, this song about a crumbling relationship had more than one meaning. On the one hand, it was the perfect pop song, energetic, catchy, heartfelt, and sexually suggestive. On the other hand, it was the perfect song for the political movement. Who is the voice of a strong Black woman demanding respect and showing her power. Even though Respect was composed by a man as a lament about a bad relationship dynamic, its thrilling and familiar chorus spelling out R-E-S-P-E-C-T quickly came to mean something larger. So there's a little political bent to a lot of these songs, it seems.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we take that and we look back at the article with the corruption by sector, I mean, police and law enforcement corruption sounds like, and like the most purely political are going to be the judiciary corruption, police and law enforcement, and probably taxation. Yeah.
Well, you know what's interesting about taxation, as I'm scanning it here, it seems like the, you know, the reason or the way that taxation has become corrupt is that you can pay bribes to have your tax assessment lowered.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm coming up with something. Okay. So what if, what if it's a song about like bribing someone to love you, but it stands in as a political statement for like bribery?
Bribery and taxation.
Yes. So it'll be like Aretha. So it's like you're talking about respect in a relationship, but really it's about respect between like the government and the people, or really the oppressors and the oppressed.
So, I like it.
So we'll talk about like romantic bribing in some way. I'll have to figure it out.
Romantic bribery is terrible.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, so just to read what this says specifically about taxation, according to a 2002 study, 99% of 256 respondents reported facing corruption of taxation, which is insane. Furthermore, 32% of respondents reported paying bribes to have their tax assessment lowered, and nearly 14% reported receiving fictitious tax assessments until a bribe
was
paid.
Crazy.
Can you imagine, like, if the IRS, like, sent you your tax report without you even, like, filling anything out, and you're like, this is not true at all, and they're like, you better pay us if you want it fixed.
Oh, my God.
That's horrifying.
I know, it seriously is. And just FYI, with this big tax reform that's being shoved down the throats of everyone, the IRS is also facing like a 20% budget cut, so they're not going to have the personnel to handle all of the new questions. Yay!
Smart. Very smart.
So I think we can make this happen.
Well, I'll start putting my band together and you create some lyrics.
Sounds good. Okay. So I think we're ready to share this song to the world. And by world, I mean 14 of our friends.
That's pretty much our world.
We have like four other people other than these people who listen to our podcast, and we're very grateful for them. You guys are awesome. So we are going to gather everyone together, and we're going to reveal to them what they're going to be singing about and in what genre, and Scott is going to teach them the song.
Here we go. All right, Shannon, here we are at this year's Murder Cabin.
Woo!
Murder Cabin.
You did it! Viola, save us.
No one's been murdered yet.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Time is young.
Is that how that works?
That's how it works.
Yes. And we have a nice gathering of people. Could we all just go around and say your names if you're singing?
Megan.
Josh.
Bree.
Dom.
Christina.
Dave.
Alexa.
Josh 1.
Aslan.
No, but you have to be Josh too, because he already said Josh.
I'll be Josh.
He didn't specify, so I did Josh 1.
Mike, say Mike.
Mike, I said it.
Oh, great. Awesome.
So they're all going to help sing this song. And Shannon and I have already done the research into the topic and the genre. Mm-hmm. Shannon has written lyrics. Mm-hmm. I've written the music. And all I need is my choir of angels here to finish out the song.
Yeah. So the genre this week is Southern Soul.
Yes.
Some examples. Yeah. Think of like Ray Charles, Otis Redding. You know, sitting on the dock of the bay.
Aretha Franklin.
Yep.
That kind of stuff. So you guys called me here on purpose.
Exactly.
Yes. We called you viola player here on purpose for the Southern Soul.
My viola's name is Aretha.
Is
hey,
it?
Hey, there you go.
Oh, damn. I didn't know that. And the topic that we got, the random Wikipedia topic that we got was, not kidding, corruption in Pakistan.
Yay!
So we're going to do a Southern Soul song about corruption in Pakistan, and specifically taxation corruption.
Yes.
Because in Pakistan, apparently, it's very common to receive an incorrect tax assessment and have to pay bribes in order to get it corrected.
Yeah. like 30% of people or something, some insane amount like that, experience taxation corruption in Pakistan.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah. So we wrote a quick verse and then chorus of a Southern Soul song about taxation corruption. And we talked about it from the idea of using bribery as a kind of metaphor for love or a relationship, because that's what like a lot of these songs kind of take something and use it as a metaphor for like love or relationships. So here are the lyrics that you will be helping us sing. Here's the verse. The tinkle of coins, the shuffle of bills, whatever the sound, my soul gets a thrill. Yes, the way to my heart is by greasing my palm. A few hundred rupees, your return won't be wrong. Then the chorus. Winning my love keeps an audit away, and away is where audit should be. But close to my heart is where you should stay. So pass out that cabbage, because bribery pays. Pass out that cabbage, because bribery pays.
So you're all going to help me sing the chorus, and then we're going to do a little gospel call and response at the end.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Great. And I think the title of the song, obviously, is Pass Out That Cabbage.
Yeah.
So here it is. Pass Out That Cabbage.
A Southern Soul song.
About corruption in Pakistan.
By Shannon and Scott and...
Murder
Josh!
The tinkle of coins... The shuffle of bills, whatever the sound, my soul gets a thrill.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the weight of my heart is by greasing my palm. A few hundred rupees, your return won't be wrong.
Winning my love keeps an audit away.
Thank you, friends.
Thanks, friends.
Welcome.
Yeah.
This is one of our favorite episodes of the year that we get to do this with everybody. And it's really enjoyable because not everybody listens to the podcast. And so they're just like, I don't know what I've signed up for.
Apparently, I'm singing cabbage this
weekend. Yeah, exactly. I think we maybe didn't nail the genre this week.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's a mixture of soul, funk, gospel, and rock.
Yes.
And mostly schoolhouse rock.
This week, mostly schoolhouse rock.
For some reason.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to suggest a salad spinner sound effect, you can go to our Twitter at SongSaladCast. You can also hit us up on our email address, SongSaladPodcast@gmail.com. And thank you to people like Jacob Ward, who just upped their Patreon donation. So we super appreciate all of our patrons, and you help us make this I'm not going to say more than a hobby. How about more than a more serious hobby?
Yes.
That we still want to continue putting our time into. We also have a live show coming up in January, which we mentioned once back in like November, and then we forgot to mention again.
We assume you have calendars.
Yes. If you are in New York City, specifically Astoria, Queens, on January 20th, 2018, at
7:30. Thanks, Josh.
7:30 in Astoria, Queens. It'll be at QED, which is a comedy and music space in Queens, on January 20th. We will be doing a live show, and we will be recording it because maybe it'll be okay enough to release on this feed. Not really sure. And we'll be taking your suggestions for topics and genres.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And we're everyone else.
And we're not murdered. Yeah.
Yeah. And together
we're
cabbage.
Cabbage.
The cabbage cabin.
Hang out the cabin. Cabin!